Let's turn to Numbers chapter 35. Verse 6 says, among the cities, and this is God speaking, speaking to Moses, he says, among the cities which you shall give unto the Levites, there shall be 6 cities for refuge, which you shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither. Now, a refuge is a place where a person can flee for safety and security, having a sure hope that he will indeed be safe and secure. That's what a refuge is. It's a place somebody can flee to where they have a good hope, a sure hope, that they will find security and safety. Now, God provided 6 cities of refuge, and they were for the manslayer. That was for somebody who unintentionally killed somebody. He did it without malice. He did it without forethought. It was not premeditated. We call it manslaughter. He did it for the manslayer. The manslayer that killed somebody was guilty, and according to God, should die. And so the avenger of blood, who was the near kinsman to the man that he killed, had the right and obligation to pursue him and kill him. But if the manslayer got into the city of refuge, the avenger of blood could not touch him. He could not touch him. Now, lately, we've been hearing reports in the news about sanctuary cities, and that's kind of what got me thinking on this passage. I've heard more than one person say that sanctuary cities in the United States are like the cities of refuge in the Bible. There are not. And I want you to understand why. And most importantly, I want you to flee to the city of refuge. But they are not. Now, basically, sanctuary cities in the United States are cities that do not enforce immigration laws toward people who have illegally entered this country. Or they're cities that do not even inquire about immigration status at all. And to my understanding, some have a few laws in place to enforce that, but most simply practice that. But the purpose of God in giving the cities of refuge was not that. The cities of refuge were not provided to disregard God's law. They were not that. They were to uphold God's justice and honor God's law. That's what they were for. And they were cities where the law and justice of God would be executed in full. They would be executed in full. The person who killed somebody, he would die. Before God, he would die. And at the same time, that person would receive mercy and safety and not be touched by the avenger of blood. How on earth could that happen? How could a person be executed and yet not be touched by the avenger of blood? That happened in the city of refuge. You see, the city of refuge is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ where sinners can flee for refuge, where God's justice is executed in full upon all those to whom He shows mercy and saves. How can that be? Well, let's go through this and see. First of all, the Lord gave these cities of refuge. That's important. The Lord gave the cities of refuge. And He gave them for the children of Israel. Look at verse 9. The Lord spake unto Moses. You see who's giving these cities of refuge? The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. And say to them, when you be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you. And then look at verse 15. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the Gentile stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee into this city of refuge. God giving the cities of refuge for the children of Israel, for Gentile strangers, for sojourners, is a picture of God giving His only begotten Son for the Israel of God. You see, God's Israel is the people He chose before the foundation of the world and put in Christ, or chose in Christ, rather, and blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ, and predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. These are His Israel, and they're made up of Jew and Gentile. They're made up of a people out of every kindred, nation, tribe, and tongue under heaven. It's not one nation that is His people, or one people of one race that is His people, or male or female or bond or free or any of that. It's whom God chose. That's who His Israel is. And for those that He chose, He gave His only begotten Son to be the city of refuge. That's what Christ declared in John 3:16. He said, God, after this manner, that's what the word so means. God, after this manner, loved the world. And He's talking about those people scattered throughout the world, throughout time, that God gave a city of refuge. God, after this manner, loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Why? That whosoever believeth in Him, that whosoever flees into this city of refuge, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, that sounds like everybody ought to be fleeing into the city of refuge. Sure does, don't it? Why aren't they? Because to flee into Christ for refuge means we believe on Him entirely. We don't look to ourselves, we trust Him only. And we do so believing God's Word with a sure and steadfast hope that we shall be saved by Christ. Listen to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 8. If you can get there, I encourage you to turn, but I'm going to be going a little more quickly. Hebrews 6 and verse 18, he says this. He says, by two immutable things, that is, by the immutability of His counsel confirmed by an oath, by two immutable things, by the Word of God, by the covenant of God, he says, in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have, sure as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast. Because God, who cannot lie, promised. Flee into this refuge, lay hold of this refuge, and you shall be saved. You shall be saved. And he's talking about Him that has entered into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Notice He's a high priest. Notice He's already gone before us. He's gone through the cross for us. He's gone through death for us. And He's gone into heaven for us. And He's our high priest. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. So you see, God gave Christ the refuge for His people, just like He gave these cities of refuge for Israel, for the Gentiles, and the sojourner. Now, the city of refuge was only for the manslayer. The city of refuge was only for the manslayer. Look at the end of verse 9, Numbers 35:9. I'm sorry, verse 11. He says, "You shall appoint the cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any persons unawares." I've titled this "A Refuge for the Slayer." Refuge for the slayer. Now God declared, you know, this is interesting. This is important. You know, in the garden, God gave a law. He gave a law, and He told Adam, "The day you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die." Well, when God destroyed that old world after Adam had sinned with the flood and saved Noah and his family in the ark, the day Noah came out of that ark, God gave him a law. He gave him a law. And this is what He said. "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made He man." He said, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made He man." Now, could anybody be saved by keeping that law? No. What was that law given for? To declare sin. It was given to show when somebody had sinned. That's what it was given for. That's what the law is given for. The law is not given to us to save us. The law is given to us to declare us guilty. Now God said, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Now, look at our text, Numbers 35, and look in verse 33. God declares here that when one man killed another man, the land was defiled. That's why God gave that law to Noah. When a man killed another man, the land was defiled. All the people that dwelt in that land all around, it was defiled. And the only way it could be cleansed was by the death of the man who shed the blood. You with me? The only way that land could be cleansed was by the death, by the shedding of blood of the man who shed the blood. By the death of the man who shed the blood. Read here verse 33. "So you shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for the blood, it defileth the land. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it." When he talks about the land here, he's not just talking about dirt. He's talking about all the people that dwelt there. He said, when that blood is shed, that all those people are defiled. And the only way that that land can be cleansed is by the blood of him that shed the blood. Another way to say that is, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. An eye for an eye and a tooth for the tooth. That's what the law of God demands. That's what it demands. Now, brethren, here's what it is teaching us. Me and you and everybody in this world are guilty. We have shed blood. We're guilty and we're defiled. Listen to the Scriptures. Paul said, quoting the Old Testament, he said, "There's none righteous, no, not one." And listen to what he said. "Their feet are swift to shed blood." You and I have killed, we have shed blood. That's what we have done. That's true of every sinner born of our father Adam. That's true of me, and that's true of you. There's no exceptions. We're all guilty, and we're all defiled. But, now listen, there is a difference. There is a difference between the slayer and the murderer. There's a difference between the slayer and the murderer. The slayer is somebody who killed somebody unaware. In other words, it was unintentional. He had no malice in his heart. He had not thought about it beforehand and premeditated this action. None of that. It was unintentional. It was unintentional. Another way to say it is, he did it ignorantly. He did it ignorantly. He did it ignorantly. Now, it's important to understand that he is guilty outside of the refuge. He's guilty outside of the refuge. And if the avenger of blood comes upon him outside of that refuge, he must and shall die because he shed blood. All right. On the other hand, the murderer. The murderer was somebody who killed intentionally. The murderer was somebody who had malice and enmity and with forethought killed somebody because he meant to kill him. That was the murderer. Now, there is no city of refuge for the murderer. God did not provide a city of refuge for the murderer. The avenger of blood shall kill him and must kill him. Now, both were guilty. Both were guilty. Both must die. But for those who did it ignorantly, for the slayer, for the manslayer, God mercifully, by His own grace, before as yet there was even a need for it, God in His own grace provided a city of refuge. For the manslayer, God provided a city of refuge. But there was no refuge for the man who willingly, knowingly, purposely killed a man in malice. Now, what is that teaching me and teaching you? Which one am I? Which one of these am I? Which one are you? Am I the slayer or I'm the murderer? Which one am I? Now, before God sends us the gospel and gives us an understanding and convicts us, His child, His people, His Israel, before He does this for us, we are the slayer. That's what we are. We are the slayer. We do not know that we do not know Christ. We're the slayer. We do not know that we do not know Christ. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul told Timothy he was a manslayer, according to God's definition. 1 Timothy 1:13. He says, I was before, 1 Timothy 1:13, I was before a blasphemer against Christ and His people. I was a persecutor against Christ and His people. I was injurious against Christ and His people. But I obtained mercy. Why? Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. With faith toward me and His faithfulness toward me and His love toward me, which is in Christ Jesus, His grace was exceeding abundant because I did it ignorantly. Paul blasphemed Christ and persecuted Christ and injured Christ and His people. And everything he did in his religion, thinking he was doing it all serving God, thinking he was doing it all glorifying the Messiah. That's what Paul did when he was dead in sin. That's what he did. He did it ignorantly in unbelief. Because here's what he did not know. Here's what he did not know. Here's what he was unaware of. He did not know that his sin was that he did not believe on Christ. He didn't know that. And here's something else he didn't know. All the while he was going about trying to keep the law and making sure he did everything the law of God said to do, so well, he did it so well, outwardly, that nobody could lay a charge to him. No, he said, I was just touching the law, I was blameless. But what he did not know is that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. He didn't know that. He was ignorant of that. And he did not know. He was trying to do works and prepare himself for the day of judgment when he came into God's judgment seat, and he was hoping, you know, God would take out the old scales that everybody talks about and put all his good works on one side and all his bad works on the other side and judge him and find him his good outweighs bad. And he would get in just by the skin of his teeth. He didn't know judgment was settled in Christ for all his people, for all for whom he died, when he laid down his life. He didn't know that. He didn't know Satan had already been, his head had been crushed for his people. He didn't know that. But when the grace of our Lord came to him, that exceeding abundant grace, God who was faithful, who loved him from the foundation of the world in Christ, God was faithful and he came to him. Christ the Lord arrested him on the road to Damascus, and the Holy Spirit did for Paul what the law never can do for a sinner. The Holy Spirit did what Christ said he would do when he came. The Holy Spirit convicted him and convinced him of sin because he believed not on Christ. And the Holy Spirit convinced him of righteousness because Christ went to the Father and we see him no more. That declared that God's satisfied. His people are made righteous in Christ and there's no more offering for sin. Nothing can be done to fulfill the law better than Christ did it. And to try to do it is to try to kill him. And he had to be convinced of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. When Christ crushed his head, when he bruised Christ's heel on the cross. And then, though, when Paul found this out, when he heard this, he was like that man that's out there in the woods chopping with that axe. And all of a sudden that axe handle flies off and hits his friend in the head over there and knocks him dead as a hammer. He became aware, I have killed. I have murdered. And when he found out he was the murderer and that he was guilty, first thing he did was take off. He fled as fast as he could into the city of refuge, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he did. That's what he did. He fled into Christ by faith. Now, brethren, I want you to get this immediately. Anybody sitting here who for the first time is being convicted that their sin is you have not believed on Christ and you've been working trying to please God and thinking you please God and Christ is the righteousness God's pleased with. And God's teaching you that and He's teaching you that judgment's settled for God's people. I want you to know this. Don't dare hesitate to run into Christ, the city of refuge, through faith. Because this is why Christ came. Christ is that high priest who was made one with us. He's that high priest who came and was made one with us so that he can have compassion on the ignorant. On them that had no idea what all their religion was about. Just blasphemy and persecution and murder. The ignorant. He has compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. When He brings them to see Him and know Him and they come begging mercy, He has compassion on them. And He brings them into the city, into the way, into the city of refuge. But I also want you to hear this. For those here who hear the gospel of Christ and have heard this message in truth, but say, I don't believe it. I'm going to forsake this gospel. I'm going to refuse to repent. I'm not believing on Christ. You, sir, are the murderer. You have committed premeditated murder. You have committed the unpardonable sin against the Holy Spirit. Go with me to Hebrews 10. I'll show you what it is. Well, let's go to Hebrews 6. We'll look there first. Hebrews 6. And look at verse 6. Let's go to verse 5. Well, let's go to verse 4. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened. That means Christ has brought the gospel to you. He brought light into your presence in truth. And that's what He's done today, right here. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift. He's given you just a little taste. And it says, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. That is, the Holy Ghost is the one who we're sinning against if we don't hear the gospel, because He's the one who's brought it near. He's the one who's bringing it to His people through His preacher, just like God said He would. It doesn't mean He's been born and regenerated and drawn to Christ and all that and then fell away. It means He's just lights come to Him. Lights come to Him. It's impossible for those that have tasted this good word of God, verse 5, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away. If they should refuse, if they should leave and say, I don't want anything to do with it. It's impossible to renew them again unto repentance, to bring them back in, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. You see that? That's what the murder is to put Christ, is to crucify Christ afresh. Go to Hebrews 10. A person who's heard this truth, and this gospel in truth, and no man is without excuse. Every man has the light of nature. Every man has the light God's given him. God's given the man in the most remote place has the light of nature. Romans 2, so that men are without excuse. And the man who's heard this word, though, look here, claimed he believed it and claimed he rejoiced in it and all that, Hebrews 10 and verse 6. It says, I'm sorry, I turned you to the wrong place. Hebrews 12, verse 6. He says here, let me find it. Hold on, give me just a second to clear my thought. Wrote it down wrong, but I know where it's at. Can I help me? Hebrews 10. It's in Hebrews 10. Right here. Hebrews 10, verse 25. He says, that man who forsakes the assembling with God's people, as the manner of some is, look down at verse 26. It's the man we're talking about. That man sins willfully. He's sinning willfully. He's forsaking Christ. He's rejecting. He's sinning against the Holy Ghost. He's rejecting the gospel of Christ. He says, if we sin willfully, after that we receive the knowledge of the truth. That is, it's come into your presence. God brought it to you. You've heard it. And there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. But a certain, guaranteed, fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary, meaning him, the man who rejects Christ, shall devour him. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Well, we got something that's far worse than that to despise. How much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. We're not talking about a man, you know, those God regenerates and calls, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. We're talking about the gospel being brought to you, to your hearing. And you hearing it, maybe for a season, maybe for a little while, maybe even tasting it a little bit. Pretending and seeming like you're in the city of refuge. But to turn away from Christ, to reject Christ, to go away and say, I don't need Him. I don't need that gospel. I don't need that. That's to be the murderer. There remains no more refuge. If we reject Christ, there's no more refuge. If we reject the city of refuge, there's no more refuge. Plain and simple. Now, which are you? Which am I? Am I the slayer who did it ignorantly in unbelief, but now by the grace of God I flee to Christ for refuge? Or am I the murderer who refused to believe on Christ and crucifies the Son of God afresh? Which one am I? We're one of the two. Everybody's one of the two. Now, thirdly, I want you to go back to our text. I want to show you something here. Knowing the terror of the Lord, now let me persuade you. We're going to all answer to God, either in Christ or in judgment. So knowing the terror of the Lord, let me persuade you, as Paul said. God must uphold His holy law. God must uphold His holy law and justice. There is no refuge, therefore, for anybody found outside of Christ. Look at verse 21. Look at verse 21, Numbers 35:21. He says here, "He that in enmity smite him with his hand that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. The avenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him." Who's this avenger of blood? Hebrews 10:30. Let me read you the rest of that passage we were just at. "We know God that hath said, vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people." It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Well, I thought that had to be the near kinsman that was the avenger of blood. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by our near kinsman, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's given us proof he'll do it in that he's raised him from the dead. That one we rejected, that sea of refuge we refused, that high priest we refused, will be the judge, jury, and executor on the day of judgment. That same one. Because God's put it all in his hand. And we can't pay by our works to make satisfaction for our sins. We can't do it. Look at verse 31. "Moreover, you shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death." You see that? If Christ is not the satisfaction made for me, then I have no satisfaction that can be paid. I can't pay enough by my works and my doing or anything in me to make satisfaction for my murder and my guilt. I can't do it. God said it can't be done. But for the slayer, for that one who suddenly made the sea that you've ignorantly shed Christ's innocent blood, you've murdered yourself, you've murdered the innocent blood of others that did nothing to you, you've done it, now you see that you've done it, Christ is the city of refuge near for you to flee unto. He's near. You look back up at verse 13. He said there, in verse 13, he said, "These cities which you shall give shall be six cities for refuge." You'll give three cities on this side of Jordan and three cities you give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. If you looked at a map, you'd see three on this side of Jordan and three in Canaan, so that no matter where you were, on that side of the river or this side of the river, if you came to know that you had ignorantly sinned and were guilty, you could flee into one of those cities right quick. God said in another place, he said, "Make the road that goes to that sea of refuge wider than all the other roads." He said, take the stones out of that road and set up markers on that road and make sure that anybody that needs the refuge knows where they can find the refuge. Brethren, Christ has provided the way. Christ has taken up all the stones. He's made the valleys, brought the valleys up, the mountains down, and he's made a straight path to where we can come into God's presence. He's put the markers out. He's given the signs out. He's given his messengers to go forth and be a voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the path of the Lord. And he's saying, now flee into the city of refuge. He's near. Listen to this. "The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." You don't have to climb a mountain. You don't have to cross a river. You don't have to run far and wide to get into this refuge. It's near you. He says, "If thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, completely satisfied, thou shalt be saved." I shall be saved. "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says this, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." You won't be ashamed for believing on him, but I'll tell you something else. When you see you need him, you won't be ashamed to believe on him either. You imagine that, you just imagine that man out there that discovered that he had committed manslaughter, and he knew that that man's brother's fixing to come and do the same thing to him and kill him, can you imagine that man saying, "I'm just too ashamed to go to the city of refuge"? And no way. He went to that city of refuge right quick. He went there fast. And that's what God's people do. And He makes you see. You're guilty, you go there fast. And when that slayer entered that city of refuge, He just said there that whoever confesses his sin before the Lord and believes on Him will find mercy. When that manslayer came to that city of refuge, you find this in Joshua 20, and he came to the gates of that city, he declared his cause. He came to that city and he declared what happened to him. I've sinned. I'm guilty. The avenger of blood's on my trail. I need mercy. I need mercy. And you know what he found? He found mercy. Look at this, verse 24. Then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments, according to God's word. Christ showers us with mercy. He brings us into that city of refuge because God judged all His elect in Christ. That's right. He's already settled the judgment between Christ and the revenger of blood, between Christ and the law, and you and the law. And He settled it for all for whom He died. And so when He draws them and makes them here by His abundant grace and faithfulness, and they come, you know what they're going to find? They're going to find judgment settled, and they're going to find mercy. They're going to find mercy. In Christ, we're going to find deliverance from the curse of the law. Look at verse 25. The congregation shall deliver the slayer. They shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood. And the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whether he was fled. He delivered us from the law. Christ did. He delivered us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. The revenger of the blood. And when he did that, you know what else he did? Christ restored unto his people even more than we lost in Adam. That's what he said. When you come to that city of refuge, they're gonna deliver him and restore him. And that's what Christ did. Christ restored us in wisdom. He restored us in righteousness. He restored us in full provision. He restored us in all that we need. And He did it unchangeably. He did it eternally. He did it so that it'll never be changed. That's something better than we had in Adam. And it's because all who God chose in Christ were abiding in Christ when Christ died in our room instead. Look at verse 25. Look at verse 25. He says, "And he shall abide in that city of refuge until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil." Now, you remember the manslayer who shed innocent blood? He has to die. This thing of a city of refuge is not about like the so-called sanctuary cities of the United States. It's not about ignoring the law. It's not about, you know, heathen people in history always try to copy things that God ordained. But when a sinner tries to copy it, it's a corrupt, defiled copy. And in history, you'll find the Romans, the Greeks, the Germans, you'll find them granting asylum to convicted criminals. Criminals who are known to be guilty. But they do it at the expense of that law being upheld. That's not what God did. That sinner that flees to Christ, he had to die. He had to die. And because God chose us in Christ, the city of refuge, when Christ, our high priest, died, we died in him. We were abiding in him when we didn't even know we were, because God chose us in Christ and we died in him. And when he calls you into this city of refuge, he makes you to know that he satisfied justice by his death. He made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He declared God just and justifier of the believer on Christ. And when God calls us into him, he gives us mercy, and he does it in perfect harmony with his justice. Mercy in harmony with justice. And he tells you to abide there. And he will not take vengeance on anybody who he's made to abide in Christ. He won't do it. nobody can purchase us out of his hand. Look at verse 32. You remember how the murderer, he couldn't pay enough to earn satisfaction. Well, right here, nobody can pay enough to get us out of that sanctuary. You shall take no satisfaction for him that has fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land until the death of the priest. You know, we have liberty right now in Christ. He's freed us from the revenger of blood. He's freed us from the law, though it has nothing else to say to it. And you know what he's called us to do now? Abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. Abide in Christ until that day. He says here, till the death of the high priest. Well, Christ, our high priest, already died on the cross. And there's coming a day when he's going to completely have finished this work. Just like a high priest would who had died and his work was ended. And when Christ has called all his people into the city of refuge and this work is done, you know what he's going to do then? He's going to come and take us to a land that belongs to us. He's going to give us a land that belongs to us. He has reconciled us through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight if you continue in him to the end. He said, abide in this city till that high priest's work is completely finished. That's what the death represents. Till he's done with his work and all his work's over with. Well, you abide in Christ right now until he's finished this whole work and called all his elect in to this city of refuge, and then he's going to present us all unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. He said he's already redeemed us and called us, and he says now if you continue in faith, he's going to present you unreprovable in God's sight. Holy, unblameable, without possibility for the all-knowing God to find one sin against you. That's what we have in him. But now, everybody who appeared to go into the city of refuge and decided one day, you know what? I don't need this high priest. I don't need this city of refuge. I'm going to leave this city of refuge. I'm going to go out. I believe I can stand. I believe I can face that revenger of blood. I've grown so much in holiness, I don't believe the law is going to convict me anymore. Verse 26. If the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whether he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, the revenger of blood shall kill the slayer, and the revenger of blood shall not be guilty of blood. He's going to do it justly, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the high priest's work was completely finished. You see that? When you come to Christ and believe on Christ, that don't mean, well, okay, that's settled, that's done, now I'm going to kick my heels up. Once saved, always saved. Try to not abide in Christ. Try to be found in your own good works before God. Paul said, I don't want to be found having my own righteousness. I want to be found in the city of right refuge. I want to be found under that high priest having his righteousness, not mine. But all God's people shall be made to effectually abide in Christ till the end. They're going to be made to abide because Christ paid for them. He paid for them. And we're going to find this, that by Christ's death, by what he did on the cross, and by Christ completely finishing this work for God and coming back for us and bringing us to the Father, we're going to find out one day that God, we have a land, a heavenly land that is our land. It's our possession because Christ purchased it for us. And we're going to be delivered into it. Look here. Verse 28. He says, after the colon there, he said, but after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. You see that? When the work's all finished for that high priest, and it's done, he stayed under that high priest's dominion. He stayed in that city of refuge, just like we stay under Christ's dominion, under grace in Christ, in the city of refuge, until all this work's finished. We're going to find out then. Everything God promised us is true. We're going to have it because Christ purchased it. Listen to this. For this cause, Christ is the mediator of the New Testament, of the New Covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. When that slayer was in that city, and he stayed in that city, and the day that high priest died, he was free then to leave that city and go to the land that was his possession. And when this work's all finished by Christ our high priest, and he brings us out, now we're in no danger anymore of the avenger of blood. We're in no danger of ever falling away or nothing anymore. He's kept us to the end. He's going to bring us out to see that by his death, he purchased for us an eternal inheritance, just like he promised. And we're going to have it. We're going to have it. Now listen to me carefully, and I'm going to stop. You may have come in here the slayer, ignorant in unbelief, but you've heard the truth now. You've heard the truth now. Don't be the murderer. Don't be guilty of willfully trampling underfoot the blood of Christ, or willfully forsaking the assembly of His saints. Don't be guilty of it. If you meet God outside of Christ, God must and shall take vengeance on you. But God's given His Son for the slayer. Now, is that you? The slayer? Have you been made to know that? I thought I was saved. I thought I was doing good by all these religious works and doing what the preacher told me to do. I did all this ignorant and unbelief. I've been persecuting and blaspheming God. If He's made you to see that, the gates to this city are wide open. Never shut. Christ says He delights to show mercy. Flee into Him, believing on Him, and I pray He'll give you grace to do it. I pray He'll give you grace to do it. Then you'll sing the song of this city. My God is the refuge. He's the rock. He's the high tower. He's the under His everlasting arms is salvation. That's our song. That's where we're abiding until this work's finished and He takes us home. God make it so for everybody. Amen.